God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Our first reading is from the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
There's another verse there. Sorry, verse 14. I guess it wasn't in your print. Sorry about that, Elizabeth. But the closing verse, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So today, we celebrate the end of another church year, and yet we're starting the service by talking about Advent, the start of the new year instead. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the beginning for us, the starting place as we travel through our church year. The Word of God, who is now more often called Jesus Christ, was there in the beginning, creating and bringing into being all that is. And as we celebrate Advent, we recognize that Christ is with us as we journey in hopeful anticipation for the coming Christmas. The light of the world, which has been for all time, is remembered every time we light the Advent candles. And the good news for us is that the light never goes out. Our first hymn is O Come Emmanuel. We'll sing verse 1.
Our second reading comes from the book of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
A king born in Judea. Not in a castle with the best midwives attending his birth, but in a stable with only his parents and the animals to bear witness to his arrival. No royal proclamation was made to all the land, but to a few shepherds in the fields, the angels came to give the good news. Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, the one who would preach and teach and bring salvation, who would be killed as a common criminal upon a tree, came to this earth one night as a tiny, helpless infant. And though Jesus no longer walks with human flesh, God is with us still. Within us, beside us, before us, behind us, we are not alone. And so we celebrate Christmas, proclaiming like the shepherds the good news that had been told to us.
The next reading's from the book of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage."
On Epiphany, we remember the coming of the Magi, to kneel before Jesus, and like them, we seek to give ourselves to the Christ child. And so each week, we take the time to look deeply at our lives and offer to God all that we have and all that we are. Though the Magi brought gifts that would break most of our banks, we remember that Jesus only wants our whole hearts, and so we bring ourselves before God, knowing that our gift brings great joy in heaven. There is a basket here and a basket in the back for your tithes and offerings. While we sing our new offering song, we bring these gifts, which is printed on an insert, which should be on the inside cover of The Faith We Sing, but not this one. So, self-giving God, we thank you for the gifts that we have received and the opportunity to give back. Take these offerings and tithes and use them to touch human lives and communities with the generosity of your grace and the universality of your goodness. May your blessings flow through us and beyond us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
The next reading is from the book of Luke. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers.
We call this next season the season after Epiphany, but I like the other name that it goes by, Ordinary Time. This is the season of ordinariness, a time when we see God in the everyday things in life, remembering that God is present not only in the grand holy days like Christmas and Easter, but also in the day-to-day tasks and relationships. And so we hear the stories of Jesus' life. One that is in many ways very different from ours, but also in so many others very similar. Stories of Jesus growing up and spending time in the temple while his parents search frantically. Anyone ever experienced anything like that? Stories of him weeping for his friend Lazarus who has died. Stories of Jesus living his life the way he was called to do. Living a life as we are called to do. Once again, in this season, we hear that we are not alone as we go through our lives. And we claim and proclaim the importance of our God who chose to take on human flesh to live among us.
Up next, we have the book of Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished.
That passage seems to have been cut off. Sorry. Afterwards, he was famished. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. People always say that the season of Lent is one of the hardest seasons to feel the presence of God in it. It's focused on confession and lament. Okay. It's focused on confession and lament, and we often realize how far we have gone from the way God would have us follow. But there is something wonderful in this season of Lent as well, because as we give up those things that draw us away from God, the temptations of greed, jealousy, anger, despair, we find that God is still nearby. We were just unable to see it. When we recognize that the living Christ was tempted and overcame those temptations, we have the opportunity to follow in his footsteps, knowing that his arm is always outstretched to catch us when we stumble.
We have next the book of John. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
It's easy to see the glory of Christ during the season of Easter. We shout hallelujah and praise him as the risen Lord. Pilate placed a sign above his head that said "King of the Jews" as an insult. But we proclaim him to be the king of our lives, not as an insult, but as the truth. It's easy to get caught up in the spirit of Easter, the wonder of it all. But in this season, we celebrate the Easter is not only one day a year, it is every day. And so we remember that here too, Christ is with us. When we feel as if we are in the tomb, he calls us by name and tells us to come out. When we doubt, he reaches out his hands and says, "Know that I am real." And when we deny him, he forgives and calls us to go and preach the good news. This is the good news of Easter.
Next, we have the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability.
Jesus promised the first disciples that he would send the Spirit as a comforter, a guide, and an advocate, but I doubt that most of them thought it would come to them in such a dramatic way. Today, we remember Pentecost as the birthday of the church, the time when the tongues of fire descended and the word of God was first preached by the disciples to those who had never heard it before. But we also remember that the voice of God is not always a rush of wind or a tongue of fire. Sometimes it's the still, small voice which calls to us, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."